Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
All right, we are starting a brand new series called... Come on, even the kids got it. Some of the parents didn't. Called...
Overload.
And the tagline is, when your life is full and your soul has no room. Overload, when your life is full and your soul has no room. Interesting, this graphic alone makes me feel overloaded. Anybody else? Just looking at this graphic makes me feel overloaded. Felt a little bit like that this week. It was just one of those weeks. Listen, do you ever notice that when you look at other people's lives, that you look at their highlight reels, right? We have this thing called social media that is amazing for this. But it's more than just social media, but let's start there. Social media, we post our highlight reel, right? Nobody ever posts anything about them fighting with their husband or wife, right? Have you ever noticed that? That nobody takes the time to get the camera out when you're about to slap somebody. Nobody slaps anybody in here, hopefully. But let's say that they did. You don't like, hey, this is a good moment. Let's take a shot. Nobody does that. But it's funny, in life, we look at everybody and we look at your failure reels. Right? You know, if you're a full-blown narcissist, which that's a disorder, those are people often that only talk about their successes. But the normal person in life, you look at your failure reel, where you missed it reel, where you didn't achieve, where you didn't perform, where you didn't get enough done. Let me give you an example. On the worship team, when we're done, we have to often fight really hard to notice what went well, because often we'll see what didn't go well, right? Let me put it another way, just to help you understand. Let's say that you have to do a presentation. How many remember doing those wonderful presentations in school? And you couldn't wait to get out of school for that reason, right? You do a presentation and 8 people afterwards come up and they rave about how good your presentation was. And that one person comes up after and says, man, you really didn't do so hot. Do you think about the 8 or do you think about the 1? Think about the 1. We are notorious for people to look at what's negative. We're notorious to look at all the things that we don't do well. But when it comes to other people, we look at all the things that go well. And it's interesting, we do life this way. We read the Bible this way. We read the Bible looking at how amazing every one of those people are in the Bible. We look at how spectacular their faith is. We look at, man, just how much they could do. They're conquerors, they're giant slayers, they're all this. But I want to maybe highlight something for you that you did not know. Did you know that Elijah, the one that at Mount Carmel called down fire, that ended up destroying 450 Baal worshipers. Like, he destroyed them, he taunted them, killed them in the end, not him, but the people did. Did you know that he ran into the wilderness after that and was depressed, anxious, and even asked God to kill him? Wanted to lay down and die. We don't look at the highlight reel often like that because we look at how amazing these people are. Let me give you another one, and I want to actually quote some of his famous lines. David destroys the giant. David goes out and slews armies. David is this king among kings. But have you ever read Psalms and noticed that he says things like this? Why, soul, are you so downcast? My bones are in agony in another spot. He says this, my guilt is crushing me. That's pretty hardcore. My guilt is crushing me. Here's 2 more from our history. Martin Luther, he's known for bringing in the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation. He's the one that posted the thesis upon the door. Did you know that he suffered with crushing depression, fear, anxiety? Right? We look at the highlight reel. Look what he did. We often don't realize what they went through. Here's another one, Charles Spurgeon. Has anybody ever read anything by Charles Spurgeon? The older ones in here definitely would. Charles Spurgeon, the man of God, he is a preacher of preachers. He spoke to 1,000 people a week in London. He was known as this incredible preacher. Did you know there were days he couldn't even get out of bed? The anxiety was so crushing on him. I didn't know that. Like his wife worried for his life. It was so bad. Right? We look at the highlight reel. But how many know that life can throw us things that we don't expect? Josh, if you could put up this one slide. You all know this gentleman, Robin Williams. Gosh, I miss that man. Like I see him and I get teary. I loved him growing up. He said this, all it takes is a beautiful fake smile to hide an injured soul, and they will never notice how broken you really are. He was famous for hiding how he felt. He was crazy. Yeah, he was so over the top, but he was hiding the pain within him. It's a tough topic, overload. It's a topic the church often we like to shy away from because we hope that when we just pursue the Lord and our faith gets strong enough that we will not deal with anxiety, we will not deal with depression. You know, have you ever been in that place where you do struggle and you think, I must not be a good Christian? Have you ever had that cross your mind? Well, I did in 2017. When I had a blowout for many different reasons, and we're going to talk about those different reasons, not just mine, but just life. But I had a blowout, and what it did, it began to, I questioned my Christianity. I questioned my faith. Maybe I wasn't strong enough, good enough, didn't read my Bible enough, didn't pray enough, didn't worship enough. I began to question everything. Because how could I be going through this as a Christian? And then often in church, unfortunately, we say, and I'll say it, until I went through my 2017 experience, I had no grid for what people were going. Anxiety, no grid. I'm a type A personality, man. I thrive in pressure. Did. It's changed my life since 2017. I've changed some things and it changed me. So when somebody came up to me and they said, I have this crushing anxiety, I'd be like, dude, declare yourself out of it. No grid. And I would weep after that season when people would tell me, I would weep for them. And I would repent because I had no grid. Declare yourself out. Pray yourself out. Now, I want you to know through this series, everything that I'm saying, you should know that it's a part of the solution. But I learned that it's yes, pray, and. Yes, declare, and. I had no grid, so I was very spiritually focused. And I want to hopefully bring some freedom in the house. I hope to bring some help to us in the house. You know, I'm a pastor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a doctor. I do a lot of research. I've read a lot of books. I will even share some of those, so if you want to read them. But I'm going to bring as much truth and understanding as I can, because I believe Jesus and the church is still the place of victory. But I also know it's not just going to the line that will cure all your problems. How many know, how many have ever been prayed for and you still woke up on Monday? That's the first thing, you woke up on Monday. And then when you woke up on Monday, everything was still there. Lord, take it all away. And you wake up and you wonder if your kids are gonna be there. They're still here, Lord. At least their problems are. So I hope to bring a balance, and I hope to bring a framework to this discussion that we can all begin to live in and through that will help us. Turn to your Bibles, please, too. I want to start off with a scripture. This is a favorite scripture of mine, and when I think Pastor Gary read it for the first time in the message, but we'll read it first. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 will be out of the New King James. If you don't have a Bible, or for sake of time, you can quickly look up there as well. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. This is what Jesus promises us. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We'll look at that again, but you need to understand Jesus went through moments of great anxiety. Now, he was not anxiety driven or ridden, but how many know that if you're in the garden and you are looking at what's before you and you are sweating blood, how many know that comes with a bit of anxiety? How many know that's stress? Life is not free of stress, nor is it free of anxiety. We will go through it, but there's a promise that says that we can come to him if we are who labor and we are heavy laden, and he will give us rest. Now, I'm convinced that he has truth, promises, and rhythms for us that we can tap into, but it is our choice. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give you some statistics, and I don't want to overwhelm you with statistics, and I'll say this now and I'll say it then, but here's what I know. A lot of what we go through is not our fault, but it is our responsibility to make decisions to change. Amen. A lot of what we go through is not our fault. A lot of what we're faced with today is not our fault. A lot of what our kids are facing today is not our fault. But there are decisions that can be made that are our responsibility. And he says that we can come to him. So what's the first decision we need to make? To come to him. He is the one that has solutions. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. How many want to find rest? Hallelujah. The rest for our souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't have it as a screen, but this is what the message so beautifully says. Are you tired? Yeah. Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace, and I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That is the most beautiful, hope-filled message right there. Amen. So I don't know if you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So I was pondering that as I was getting ready, because this is probably a life message for me. I've done this several times in several different ways, so it means a lot to me after going through what I did in 2017. But as I was researching, I came across this quote. If you could put this quote up, this statistic up. Psychologist Robert Lee, however you want to say it, he states that the average high school kid today has the same level of anxiety as the average psychic patient did in the 1950s. It stopped me in my tracks. You know, if you ever as an adult, please don't ever say this, oh heck, it's no different than when I was growing up. That is not true. This world is a completely different world than when I was growing up. And if you add 20 years onto that, it's a completely different world. And with his research, you know, this battles the stat, but this is what he sees, that he sees the average kid today battles the level of anxiety that the average person would have been in a psych ward for in the 50s. Like, how can that be? Well, we're going to talk about that over the next few weeks, because that's a startling statistic. And my friends, it's only getting worse. And I believe, again, I'll say it over and over, the church, Jesus, each of us in here have solutions that can make and bring people to wholeness. Amen? How many want to see that? How many want that in their own life? I'll take it. Any rhythm I can find in Jesus that will help, and any rhythm I can change that will help, I need to start doing, because I know even in my own life, if I go back to that picture, a lot of times that's what I feel like. I feel like the sticky notes. I feel like I can't get enough done. And then I read that scripture in Matthew and I'm like, this is not the way we're supposed to live. So if I spend the rest of my life working on these rhythms, I'll do it. And if I can help other people find freedom, I'll do it. A couple more scriptures I want you to look at. Turn with me to 3 John 1 verse 2. 3 John 1 verse 2. It's only one chapter. Third John 1 verse 2, as you're looking, it says this. This is John, and he says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." It's interesting. Did you see that in Matthew as well? It talked about rest for our souls. John says, "I pray that you will prosper in all things in health, just as your soul prospers." One more scripture, Romans 15, 13, just look up here with me. It says, "Now may the God of hope," we know this one, this is my favorite scripture, "may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace." How many want joy and peace? Gosh, we should be walking around as Christians as the most joyful and peaceful people. I really believe it. I believe that we have been sown lies that keep us from being that way. Of course, life circumstances will do that, but we should be full of joy and peace. Doesn't mean all the time we will go through situations. Joy and peace in believing. Thank you. In believing. So remember what I said, it's not your fault, but it is our responsibility. One of the keys that you're going to know in this series is we change things by believing. We change things by believing. Let's try it again. We change things by believing. And it says that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank goodness it's not just all about mental belief, right? Thank goodness it's about the Holy Spirit as well. But this is telling us that what we believe will play a role. I said a second ago that it's different today. Just, I'm going to give you some stats in a minute, but think about this one thing of how much our life has changed. I don't know what your plans are right after church. But 50 years ago, you would have been going home. Because 50 years ago, nothing was open. We weren't necessarily a full-on Christian nation, but there was an understanding that we need a day of rest. And so nothing was open. Now today, everything is open. That one change has drastically affected our lives more than we will ever know. I long for those days. You know, we long for those days, but then that moment when we're at home and we're cooking something, we're like, shoot, I forgot that thing. So I go to run to the store. Oh, they're not open now. Means we have to plan. Go to your neighbor. I don't know my neighbor. Let's change that. Good job, Connie. See, this is how much our world has changed. I was reading this in a devotional. This was phenomenal. I never thought of it, but this is going back to when they were creating apps. And this gentleman wanted to create an app for going into cities because he's like, how would people know the best restaurants? I'm going to create an app for that. You can go on that app and you can find the best restaurants. And his older friend was like, why do we need that? He's like, why don't we need that? He's like, well, so the guy that's creating the app says, well, what do you do to find the best restaurants? He says, well, when I go into a city for a business meeting, I look on the street for somebody that's really joyful and happy, and I stop them and I ask them, hey, what's your favorite restaurant in this town? And he said, you know, it's interesting that most of the time we actually become friends, and every time I visit that town, I get to know I visit that person. You tell that to a young person today, hey, go ask that person for what, you know, I have social anxiety. You have just made it worse. Because that's what happens today. When we do not talk to people, and then you have to go talk to them about something. Now, it's actually not their fault, but I'm going to keep saying it. It is our responsibility to change. Because if we want to live a life of rest and peace and have a better rhythm, there are things I hope that in this lesson you begin to go, maybe there's a better way. Maybe there's a better way. Here, I'm not going to overwhelm you, but I want to make you aware. Over 1 billion people globally struggle with mental health issues. Anxiety has increased over 50% since 1990. 1 in 5 adults reports frequent anxiety. Youth anxiety rates are at historic highs. Listen to this one. This is going to become a bit of a theme. The average person consumes 74 gigabytes of information per day. That's equivalent to watching 16 movies. I want you to let that sink in. 74 gigabytes of information is coming your way that you're perceiving. That's like watching 16 movies. I would be overwhelmed with 2 movies. Now, we're not just talking movies. Put into those movies information overload. And what they are now discovering is our brains were never meant to handle this. Our brains are literally not meant to handle this much information. So what's happening? Overload. Let me give you another drastic thing. So 50 years ago, stores weren't open. 50 years ago, when you wanted to get the news, you had a couple ways of getting it. You went outside and you grabbed your newspaper, which was thin, if it came to you, which it did back then. You would grab your newspaper and you'd read it, or you'd get up and you'd watch the early news, or you'd catch it at 5 o'clock, or maybe you'd catch it at 10 o'clock. But this really cool thing used to happen back in the day. And I remember I'd sleep over at my friend's and we'd be watching TV and we'd fall asleep watching TV and you'd wake up to ksh, or why? Because everything went off. Did you know that you have news coming at you 24 hours a day from all over the planet? Things you don't need to know and things that you don't need to know. And every once in a while, there's something you may need to know. I was reading the news. I'm going to challenge us for this month to give up something if you want to get into healing. So I'm giving up news to the level that I read it. And I remember reading some important headlines. In my mind, they're important. And I remember reading about somebody that died in a nation that I had never heard of. And feeling, oh my gosh. And I thought, I don't even know this nation, and I certainly don't know this person. And yet I just felt an emotional overwhelm for that. And so the problem that we're having is they now know that negativity sells, and emotion and negativity really sells. So they put that into everything. So not only are we seeing information at a rate never before, we are getting an emotional overload like never before. So we are feeling compelled to like, my emotions hurt for this person in a side of the world that I don't even know about. The problem with that is with overload, we become numb with the neighbor that we're supposed to care about. Because we can't handle anymore. It's not your fault, but it is our responsibility. Something that I have to change. I cannot be consumed with something I can't change because I want to be consumed with something that I can change. A few more stats. Anyway, so that 74 gigabytes is 5 times more information than we used to get in 1986. The average person checks their phone. Anybody want to guess how many times you check your phone a day? How much? 237. You check your phone a lot. 90 to 150 times a day. You know, ding, whoop, ding, whoop. So here's the other thing. We have more information being pushed our way than ever before. You used to have a choice when notifications. Like every app that I download, I say, no, I do not want you to push me notifications. And if you say yes to that, your phone would be like, bing, bing, bing. Your game's ready. The news is ready. Your text is ready. Your email's ready. Your meal you should be cooking is not ready. DoorDash is here. Listen, we can find out who's at our door now from a notification on our phone with the camera that we place there. Right? Like everything is information constantly. We never used to carry phones. Therefore, when somebody wanted to get a hold of us, they would leave a message at home. So all day I could walk around going, no distractions until I get home. It's hard to do that now. Help us, Jesus. So the number one thing that they're finding is that our brains literally do not turn off. You go to bed and your brain is trying to shut off. Anybody ever have that problem? I have a problem. I can get to sleep. Thank you, Jesus. I've worked hard over the last many years to get back into a... I used to fall asleep everywhere, like in a good way. If I wanted to sleep, I'm like my dad. Here's the problem now. I can get there. But if I wake up in the middle of the night and I think one thought, my brain starts going. Anybody else have that issue? Because our brains never shut off. It is waiting for you to go, hello? Remember that thought you ended with? Let's go at it again. All right, with the time that I have left. Oh, I shouldn't shut that. I want to try to give you a framework here. So the Bible says that, it has this verse that says we are, how many want, this is not a clay jar, but it kind of looks like that. So we are jars of clay. How many remember that verse? It says we are fragile, actually jars of clay. So pretend this is jar of clay. So I want to use that analogy as we go through, and I'm going to give you four things that we're going to work on over the next few weeks. But we are jars of clay. Would you, Margarito, you were my writer last time, right? You weren't my writer last time? Oh, it was Jeannie. Who? You want to be my writer again? I need somebody that has good spelling and good writing, because both of those are not me. Jeannie, come on up. I think the black one works, so yeah. Okay, so real quick, we're going to do a bit of an understanding here. See, this is our interaction time. Okay, so we are jars of clay. So this is us. This is a human being, okay, in our minds, jars of clay. What makes up this human being? There are three components. Let's go. This is going back to school. Body, soul, and spirit. Could you write that down? Claude gets 4 points. You don't have to write that down, though. We are made up of a body, right? A soul, and a spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Now, the spirit is what connects us to God. Our body is what we physically understand, but here's next level. Just put a dash beside soul. What is our soul made up of? Mind, will, and emotions, okay? So we want to understand this. Mind, will, and emotions. Josh, go ahead and put that up now. So we have our jar of clay. We are made up of our body, our physical self, our soul, our inner self, our will, mind, and emotions, and our spirit. These are the things that make us up. Nobody disagrees with that. If you do, I'm not sure why, but this is who we are. Now, a lot of times in life, we like to compartmentalize. We say, well, I go to church to feed my spirit. You know, my soul, I have to try to calm down. And my body, I either, you know, work it out or let it go. You know, I should probably be working out. We think like this. But here's the thing. When it comes to anxiety, depression, overload, we are interconnected. We are interconnected. It is not one thing, and that's just anxiety is over here and depression is over here. Everything is interconnected. And they are finding more now about what's trapped in our body than ever before. Very, very interesting, and we'll get to that one day. So we got our soul, our spirit, and our body. What I'd like to do... Okay, so I said it a few minutes earlier. Listen, we're not going to escape this world without stress, without a bit of anxiety. I was driving over here feeling anxious just because I had to preach a message that I was still like, oh, there's so many thoughts in my head and there's so much to do. And that's life. You know, that's not like, oh my God, I got to go see a doctor. It's like, no, I just got to get this done. And, you know, breathe, Jake, breathe. So when they were doing the worship, I sat down for a minute. And you know what I did? I was breathing. Lord, just help me to let this all go. We're going to talk about things like that. So what I'd like you to do, Gene, we're going to just write all these down as they shout them out. I do not want you to tell me major stressors. I want you to shout out life. This is normal, everyday stuff. So give me some ideas. Traffic. That is a stressor right there. Bills. All right. What was that? An alarm clock. Depends on what time it goes off, but yes, an alarm clock. So what does an alarm clock lead to? You have to usually get up and go to work. Work can be a stressor. Relationships. Huge. Yeah, for sure. Sickness. Somebody gets sick. You get sick. Yep. And we're talking regular sickness, like not just somebody gets a cold. How many know if your kid gets a cold? It's just like, oh, this is just how do I got to work and I got to get Susie to the something. I got to go pick her up. Like that's just life, right? You said finances. Yep. Finances. Kids. Taxes. Somebody said taxes. Okay. What I'm going to do while she's just anything else you want to shout out? Hopefully I won't make a mess. Family. Not in my life. Not my problem. No joking. Okay, listen. You can see the line forming. This is normal. And this will fluctuate. You know, Claude said he had started with 3. Let's just catch Claude up here. Then he went to 7. Now, it just depends on your life. Whatever's going on in your life. But this is a few more kids, a little more stress. You have to learn another rhythm of life. But this, my friends, is normal. It's going to fluctuate, all that. Now, what I want to do for a second is I want to add in, this is normal. What I'd like to add in is something today that we never had before. It's this information coming at us, 74 gigabytes. I want to let you know, whether you realize it or not, that is putting a level of stress in your life. And it's there under the surface, and you may not even realize it. If your brain doesn't shut off, you're collecting stress. So this is your body. This is your jars of clay. This is what's happening on the inside. So we've got our regular stresses, and now we have all these things. I would say things like this. Now, and you could disagree, but today, kids play multiple sports and do multiple things. When I was growing up, it was kind of like, hey, pick something. Pick something. Well, I like to do 12 things. No, pick something. Because what's happening is parents are flying around trying to get kids to multiple events. And how many know that whether you like it or not, that's adding stress to your life? Financial stress. What I want to add to this, and I'm going to run out of room already, there's a real thing called double income families that are needed today. There was a season 50 years ago where a man can go to work, or a woman, but really it was a man that would go to work, would provide to come home for a wife that was taking care of the house. Now, you can disagree with all that, but how many know that that would bring a lot less stress? But nowadays, because we have a house like mine that I paid $147,000 for, that's probably worth $600,000. So now you have two people that need to work to just try to provide for one house. So you have two people that come home stressed. This is normal now. Now we have to find solutions because you can't change that, but there are solutions to try to combat that. The problem is, so let's say we just had that up to here. Now we've got 74 gigabytes of information coming in all the time. Now you add in for young people. I didn't say this earlier, but this is another stressor. You got young people that they see multiple things on social media that they're comparing themselves to. When I was growing up, I had about 20 people in my high school that maybe I thought were pretty cool. And maybe 4 of them I thought were cool enough to emulate. And maybe I had some bands that I followed and I'd, you know, I'd put their poster on my wall, which I never did, but let's say that I did. I had skiers on my wall. I thought that would be really cool. But you know what? I did not know a thing about their life until the next magazine came out. Like, this guy had really long hair, Glenn Blake, and I thought that's really cool. And then you would get like this four-line bio, you know, he likes to jump off mountains in Jasper and something else. Well, nowadays, if I was following him, I could find out what he ate for breakfast today. And we're glued to it to find out, oh, these are so cool people. Oatmeal, I gotta have oatmeal for breakfast too. Wait, they changed their diet. I should change my diet. But this is the pressure that people are under. And you're not seeing that for four people. You're seeing that often for 300 or 400 people. And let's go back to the beginning of what I said. What are we seeing? Highlight reels. We're seeing highlight reels. We're seeing right now highlight reels of people that look so happy, and yet the influencer rate of suicide is huge. Well, why would that be? Well, we go back to Robin Williams' quote, if I put a smile on my face and I show people this life, maybe they'll all believe I'm happy, but inside I'm dying. And I am determined to make a church where we don't have to hide. Amen? So we're already, with just the regular life that we're living, we're pretty high. Now, let's write down some of those unexpected things that put us over the top. So this is going to be a new list. Death and grief. Keep it coming. A car accident that changes your life. Job loss that you did not expect coming. Illness that you did not expect. Divorce. Trauma. You could add in, people have gone through rape, abuse, financial loss. So the problem is, before, because we've added this section 50 years ago that wasn't here, this is what's happening now. We have major stressors that get us closer and closer. It's pretty good, wasn't it? I think that was planned. Now, here's the interesting thing. That is also life, unfortunately, that happens. But here's the problem. The world is running around like this right now. Even Christians. I posted something, came back from a trip, and I posted something to try to help people on this forum that I was a part of, Facebook group. Just because we tried this idea with a tent for shade, and I thought it was really cool. It was small, didn't take up a lot of room, because people, before I left, I posted, and they're like, oh, yeah, that'll take up too much room. So I scaled it back, and we had this little tent, and I posted because I thought it was so great. You know, we matched it up to what everybody thought would work. The cruelty of people on that thread was incredible. Now, it stung for a second because I'm like, who are these people? But this is what people do to each other on a regular basis, because they are living here. This is why when you're driving down the street and you're in traffic and you almost bump somebody, and the next thing you know, you are being sworn at and they are shooting you the finger, and you're like, what did I do? It's because they're sitting right here. And the problem is, we're not just sitting right there. Most of the time, people every day are overloaded. And that just happens every day. And this is the problem, that as Christians, there's a rhythm and there are things that we can begin to do that will change us and will change this situation. Now, I want to add one more thing. Jeannie, I'll have you one more time. I'm looking. See, it doesn't just stop there, though. If it was clear water, that would be perfect. But there's one thing that we have not included that we're going to talk about. I want to get the stat here. I missed it. I can't remember how many thoughts you have a day, but I think it was like 33,000 thoughts a day. And because that we have this information coming at us, and because we read so much negativity, negativity is the thing that sticks. The problem is that we don't just have, you know, we have all these negative thoughts. And it's actually doing things internally to us. We're going to do a whole day on this. So, you know, name some thoughts. We can write some down. I'm not enough. I suck. I should have been better. I'm a failure. See what happened? I'm a failure. It just reinforced it. Look what happened. Oh, and you know, if you have that rut inside of you, you will view the entire day, month, and year looking for why you're a failure to reinforce what's not even there. We're going to talk all about that. What else? I'm too fat, too weak, bad luck, not good enough, not pretty enough. My nose is too big. My ears are too small. I lost my hair. I'm not talking about me. The problem is that we have a toxic inside. And it's not the average person anymore. It's a younger generation that's growing up in toxic thoughts. This is a problem. But this is a problem that the church can be here to fix. I'm so excited that the church could be a solution and that we could be a part of a family to change this, even as we begin to model a different way. Thank you, Jeannie, so much. I just wanted to put those out there. I don't want to be in this toxic thought process. And I can honestly tell you, since 2017, the work that I've done on my own life has drastically changed this part. I don't nearly think toxic thoughts like I used to. What's interesting, you may not think you do until you go through something and then you have to slow it down and you begin to realize that you are thinking toxic thoughts. Craig Groeschel, anybody ever heard of Craig Groeschel? Raise your hand if you know of Craig Groeschel. He's a preacher. Craig Groeschel is like a leadership guy. He's pretty world known in the preaching realm. This is the type of guy that literally at one point he measured his steps in his house to make sure he was being the most efficient he could. So if he was going upstairs, he wanted to make sure that he would grab this and this in the morning so he didn't have to take two trips, like beyond anything I would even want to do. But he was a very disciplined man. He was vitamins and all these things. Well, and I didn't realize this is one of the books I read to get ready. He recently, I believe in 2022, he crashed. And he said this, and I want to let you know, he said, I had to learn when I crashed that anxiety was not a sin, it was a signal. And he had signals going off, he just kept ignoring them because he's Craig Groeschel, he's in shape, he's doing all the right things. But one of the things he talks about in this book is that he was not taking care of his mind, and toxic thoughts began to creep in. And he was thinking failure thoughts more and more. And listen, if you don't know it, at some point your body will give way. A couple more points that I want to leave you with, and then I'm going to close. We all have different capacity levels. We're not all built the same. That's the reality. I personally would never want to be the president or prime minister of a nation. I don't personally think I'm built for that, and I'm okay with that. But the reality is you can only do two things to change this situation as far as capacity. What would those two things be? Remove some, absolutely. Or figure out how to grow your capacity. And that's most of the time what we do. We hunker down, we white knuckle, and we go, I'm gonna get tougher. The problem is that's not the solution. The solution is, how do we find ways to drain this? How do we find ways? What are natural, practical, and spiritual ways that we're supposed to be lessening this water? Well, the first thing we looked at was, come to me, I'll give you rest. I want to show you here, next slide with the jars of clay. We're going to be looking at four different things. We're going to look at the load. What are you carrying? We talked a little bit about that today. Meaning, what do you believe about what you carry? That's huge. Pace. How fast is this all coming at you? And are you setting the pace? Are other things setting the pace? And what can you do to change that pace? And the last one that is so important, support. Who do you have around you? Is Jesus, first of all, your number one? And then who else is with you? Because they say today is the loneliest generation in history. And yet we're the most connected. And yet nobody knows how to talk to each other. If you wonder why I do things, why I say, hey, cross the aisle and go talk to somebody you don't know, because I'm breaking these suckers down. If we can't do it in here, then why would we do it out there? But if you can get comfortable in here, you can start talking to people on a bus, on a train, on an airport. My kids are always like, oh, Dad, really? Do you have to talk to these people all the time? Right? Because life is more exciting when you know people. I'm going to close with this. You can put that slide up. I want to ask you this question, two questions today. Well, two things. This is the first one. I would like you to take a picture or write this down because I want you to start thinking about this. What am I carrying inside? What am I carrying? And I would love for you this week, see, it's not your fault, but it is your responsibility. This would be a great thing for you to do. We all say that, but then we forget. But I would love for each day to take one of these points, one point a day, and say, what am I carrying? What are all the things that I'm carrying right now? Point number two, why am I carrying these things? Like, I don't need to grieve over somebody that died. I'm sad that is sad that they died, but I don't need to grieve over somebody that died in a nation I don't even know. I just can't. I don't have enough emotional capacity for that, so I shouldn't be carrying it. But man, my neighbor's going through a tough time. I want to carry that one. And the last thing, is it mine to carry? Should I be carrying the thing that I identified that I'm carrying? Should I be carrying this? And the last thing I'd love for you to do is pray about, if we're going to go through this, man, we're talking about all this information. Is there something in my life that I can say for the month of May? I'm going to do a little trial run here. If I stop this for 4 weeks, I would love to see at the end of May what it would do. Did it change your life? Did you miss anything? Did it make your life better? I'm stopping the news. And I have a hunch. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen at the end of the 4 weeks. I will find out that my life is better, not worse. I didn't miss anything because somebody will tell me if I missed it. War's still on? Oh, okay. I didn't have to read the four articles to tell me that. I'll find out. But I'll tell you, all the other news that I read, it won't bombard me. What are you going to do? I hope to make this very practical, very spiritual, but I hope to do it so you do things over the next 4 to 6 weeks. That we don't just go, oh, great message, let's go home. I hope you start percolating on this. You know, what can I do to change things? Please stand.
So, Father, I thank you that I think you want to bring us to a place where our life is in you and we rest in you and we find your peace and we can give things to you and shed things that you never wanted us to have. So, Father, as you begin this process with us even this week, show us things that is bombarding us, that are bombarding us, that you never meant for us to carry. And Father, teach us how to make our Sunday a day of rest again, because I think that's a huge key, so our body can recover. And we have one day that we can say, I can breathe, I can sit. So Father, I pray blessing on everybody, and strength and peace and a focus on you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.